We're going to continue looking at Jesus. We've been looking at Jesus, and we're wanting to model our life after Him. And Jesus just is a great example, right? I mean, He tells us to be like Him. And today I want to take a look at Jesus something that I've appreciated from Him and thought, man, you know, this is really something I want to follow after. And that is that on every occasion Jesus was confronted, or when the time came to choose or act, Jesus was always decisive and determined. This is Jesus' character. He was decisive, He made decisions, and He did the right things, and He made the right decisions, and then He was determined to do them, and He accomplished them. And boy, I want to do that. I want to be like that. So Luke chapter 9, let's take a look at what it says in verse 51. It says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come, that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem." I'm going to ask Brother Brian Baldwin, would you please pray for us this morning?
Lord Jesus, we thank You for another opportunity to hear from Your Word, Father. Amen. We pray that You give Stephen the words that we need to hear, and that we would use them in our lives, Lord, to please You, Father. Amen. We pray that You be glorified in the meetings this morning. We love You and we praise You in Jesus' name.
Amen. Look at Jesus here. It says that when the time came that He should be received up, when the time came, I mean, here we go, this is it. This is crunch time. It was time to do what was supposed to be done. It says He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. He had His mind made up, He had His decision made, and He went for it. This is Jesus. We want to learn from Jesus and see how decisive He was and how determined He was to do what was right, to do what He knows needed to be done. Matthew chapter 16, this is when Peter comes to Him, because Jesus is explaining to Peter, hey, your Lord, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to be put to death. Peter actually takes Him. This is Matthew 16, verse 22 and 23. It says, "Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." But look at Jesus' response. He turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense. You're a stumbling block. You're trying to stop me from doing what I know I should be doing." And He said, "Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Jesus did not allow it. Jesus did not permit anybody to stop Him from what He knew needed to be done. Jesus was decisive, and He was determined. And even when Peter comes to Him and says, "Oh Lord, may this not happen. May this not be done unto You," He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He was determined. You know, we don't really like to make decisions. We don't like to have to decide. I mean, it's true, right? Decisions are something that we don't like to do. We want to be able to sometimes just keep everything. But we can't. Decisions have to be made. In fact, if you're here today, you need to understand something. If you're not saved, you are expected to make a decision about Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus made it very clear. He said unto His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." You have to make a decision regarding Jesus Christ, and Jesus expects you to. You can't just let it, it's not just all going to happen and fall into place. You have to decide. Jesus expects decisions to be made, and it is a choice, and it's time to make a decision. But I want to look at our character and us being decisive and determined to do what's right. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read something there. Hebrews chapter 11. Here we have, this is where it's talking about the men of faith. And it says in verse 24, Hebrews 11, 24, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years," "he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, some of us don't ever want to grow up. But there's no way around it. You can't get around it. You have to come to a point where there's going to come a point in time where you are going to have to choose. You're going to have to make a decision and you will have to choose. And this is part of growing up. And this is what Moses came to. He came to years. One day, Moses came to the age where he had to decide for himself. And you do too. You can't get away from it. You have to grow up. And you know what the difference between a boy and a man is? It's that a man makes decisions and sticks by them and takes on responsibility. And the boy doesn't want to make decisions. The boy just doesn't want to have to make decisions. But a man knows it's time and he has to make a decision and he has to take responsibility for what he decides.
Amen.
So, how can we decide? How can we make good decisions? How can we make good decisions and then stand by them, be determined to follow through with those decisions? How can we do this? Well, this is what we call, I think, a conviction. We have to make convictions for ourselves. And what would a conviction be? A conviction is a predetermined principle that dictates our actions. This is a conviction. It's a predetermined principle. It's something that you have thoughtfully contemplated. You've considered the matter and you have determined the values. You have determined your values and then you allow those values that you have predetermined shape your decisions and govern your actions. This is what we need in order to make the right decisions when the time comes. Because this is what we see. The moment's gonna come where you're gonna have to make a decision. You're not always gonna have the time to run back and talk to your parents. You're not always gonna have the time to call up one of the pastors. You're not always gonna have the time to start looking through the scriptures. Sometimes there's gonna be decisions that you're gonna have to make on the spot. And how are we gonna make the right decisions when the moment comes? Well, we need to have convictions. We need to have contemplated the matters beforehand and have a preset of values. We need to have some principles in our lives that will guide us when the moment comes to make the right decisions and be able to stand firm by them. And this is what we see Jesus. See, Jesus wasn't drawn by Satan when he was tempted. Jesus wasn't drawn in the moment whenever everything seemed to be so hard and we can all think, how could it be? How could he not desire so much to make that bread, that stone a piece of bread? How was he able to make the right decision? Well, it's because it was in Jesus. He was the characteristic of righteousness and values. And so it didn't even faze him. He knew what to do. And he did it. Well, that's what you and I have to have. We have to have something within us, values that are so far inside us that we know what to do when the time comes and we'll be willing to go through with them to make the right decisions. We have to have convictions. Look at what Proverbs 1:10 says. He says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not."
Amen.
You see, he's saying, hey, I want you to be ready. To be ready for what? When sinners entice you.
Yeah.
When sinners are trying to get you to do something that you're not supposed to do, I want you to be able to say, no.
Yeah.
This is a conviction. You determine something, and then you don't let the pressure sway you from it. We need to have some time where we think about all the matters in life and we actually set some values in our life. We need to see what's important and what's not important. What should we do and how should we act and how should we think? Some principles in life so that when the moment comes, we can make the right decision and be strong and firm in it. And this is one problem with us always being entertained. It's that we never have time to think. You go from one thing to the other thing and you're just being entertained. You go to play, you come back, you get on your video games, you turn that off, you turn on a movie, you're going scrolling through your phone, you're even looking at Facebook. Guess what you're not doing? You're not just sitting and contemplating life. You're not just sitting and thinking about matters and what really you're going to value in life. You're just letting everything occupy your mind. And you know, that's not going to get you prepared for when the time comes to make a right decision. But guess what? That time is going to come. It will catch you off guard if you're not ready for it. And if we're just being entertained and just seeking entertainment, we are not contemplating the true matters of life. And God does want us to contemplate the true matters of life. He wants us to have principles. He wants us to have values that are aligned with His, so that when the time comes, you will not be pressured into doing things that you're not supposed to do. You will be able to make the right decisions. And you know, the way Proverbs, he tells his son, "Son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." I think it would be a good thing for us to sit down with our kids and just contemplate life. You ever do that? When was the last time we did that? Sat down with our kids, not to watch a movie. Sit down with our kids, not to play a board game. Sit down with our kids, not to do something else distracting. How about sit down with our kids and just talk about life. Talk about matters. Talk about values. Talk about things that are important. This is essential. This is necessary. We need to talk to our children and tell them, if sinners entice thee, don't go with them. Yeah. Don't consent thou. Amen. You see, if we don't, then the time is going to come and the decisions are going to have to be made. And listen, pressure is hard even when there is a conviction. Even when you do have a conviction, even when you do have a principle that is guiding your life, when the pressure comes, it's still hard to say no. What do you think is going to happen if there are no convictions? If you've never given it a thought, well, guess what? You're going to be taken control over by the pure pressure that they're putting on you. If you don't ever consider what it means to drink alcohol, then whenever the moment comes and your friends put that bottle in front of your face and say, "Come on, just a drink. Come on, just here, participate with us." If you've never given that a thought, guess what's going to happen? You're going to give in. These things have to be considered beforehand so that you can make a good decision when the time comes. And don't let the pressure sway you from it. This is why Proverbs tells his son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You need to make decisions and you need to have principles that are going to guide your decision so that you can make right decisions when the time comes. Now, but what if your decisions, what if your principles are wrong? I mean, can't you change them? Well, yeah, I say go home and thoughtfully think about it and then change your principles. Don't do them in the pressure of the moment. People want to get you to change your decision right there. Oh, who cares? Who cares what they say? Who cares what the Bible says? You should do this or you should do that. Don't give in at that moment. Be strong on what you considered when you actually put some thought into it. You can go home. Listen, if we have a conviction that isn't correct or maybe could be changed or maybe needs to be updated or whatever, you can go home and thoughtfully think about it. Maybe you are wrong. But don't just give in to pressure. In fact, one conviction I think my dad has that he always told us was don't do anything just because somebody pressures you to do it. And you know, car salesmen hate that. Any salesman hates that, right? They want to be able to pressure you because they know that under pressure you buckle and you just give in. You need to be able to not give in just because of pressure. Make considerate, be thoughtful about your decisions, be thoughtful about your principles and what you believe and what you think. You need to be thoughtful about it. And so Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, we see a lot of this and consideration of what to do and preparation. You need to have principles. You need to have things that will guide you on making decisions when the moment comes. Proverbs chapter 4, here we have again some advice, some counsel. In verse 14, he says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked." Enter not, right? "And go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it." Listen to the counsel. Listen to the advice of this father. He says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Don't go through it. Don't get close to it. Stay away. That's the advice that he's giving away. Don't. He says, pass away from it. "For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the day, unto the perfect day." Listen, this is his father telling him, you need to have convictions. You need to have principles. You need to have something that's going to keep you away from these bad decisions. And we all do. You think it's not going to come to you? And you think that everything everybody is doing is fine, is okay, and it's not going to hurt you? Listen, it's going to hurt you. It's going to come. There's going to be people that are going to try to get you to do things you should not do. Amen. How can we call people wicked? And how can we think that people are wicked? Well, people are wicked. It's just true. Oh, and I know it becomes even harder because, you see, it's not just people out there are wicked. It's even you inside. You're wicked. So what do you expect? Of course you have to take heed to the Word of God. Of course you have to take heed. And of course you have to build up those principles and those value systems they have inside. Because naturally, you're just going to see the wicked and you're going to run with them. And you have to make it a point to do what he says here. You need to enter not and go not with them and avoid them and pass not by them and turn from them and pass away from them. Amen. Wow, that sounds extreme. Well, it's needed. It's necessary. We need to teach our kids to say no.
Amen.
You say, well, they tell me no all the time. I say, go clean up your clothes. They say no. Go wash the dishes. They say no. No, that's not what I mean. You need to teach your kids how to say no to themselves. Amen. Get them to practice how to have self-control. When they want something, no. And they don't have to do it just because they want to do it. They don't have to do it just because they see other people doing it. That's what you want to teach your children. How to say no. No to themselves. But why should we make it such a big deal? I mean, come on. What is it? Well, why do we make such a big deal? Because see, this is really hard. Whenever the peer pressure comes, whenever there's people around us doing it, whenever everybody, when the whole crowd is doing all these things, well, we're going to cause a scene and say no? Why make such a big deal about it? Just drinking a little bit of alcohol? Why make such a big deal about it? Just smoking a cigarette? Why make such a big deal? Why make such a big deal about all these things that we may think are little and small? Well, it's because when you open that door, you can't close it again.
That's right.
Or at least it's hard to close some of them. Some of them you can't close at all. You open that door and it's a door that's opening of wickedness that's going to continue and get worse and it will affect you. But it's just such a small thing. Yes, the small things will create big problems. Every action has a reaction. And I know it looks like it's not a big deal, but young people right now, y'all need to be able to say no. Even if it does cause a scene, even if people don't think you're crazy, even if people think that you must be out of your mind, you need to be able to say no. No. And not hesitating. Not, no, but you know, maybe, I mean, you might be able to convince me if you just keep talking. No. You need to be able to just say no.
Amen.
And if you ask me again, I'm leaving. You ask me again, you're not my friend. I don't care how much you pressure me. I said no. That's what you need. You need to be able to say that. You need to be able to do that. This is what the father in Proverbs is telling you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, and what does he say? He says, if sinners entice thee. They're trying. They're gonna try to find a way to get you to do it. He says, consent thou not. Say no. Say no. If you're wanting to teach your kids what to do and how to say and what to say, say no. Teach them to say no.
Amen.
Young men, you need to say no to pornography.
Amen.
We need to teach our children to say no to pornography. Listen, your kid may be 9 years old, 10 years old. Guess what? You should start telling them, hey, if somebody shows you a picture of a woman without clothes on, say no.
Amen.
Don't look at it.
Amen.
9 years old?
Yes.
Yes. 6 years old? Listen, it gets worse and worse. You need to teach your children no. Say no. Say no to pornography.
Right.
Every man in here that's ever seen pornography will tell you, say no.
Amen.
Because it creates problems.
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
Say no. You have to contemplate these matters before they're put in front of you. A child of 9 years old doesn't know what to do, doesn't know any better, but he's going to be confronted with it. And you need to talk to them so that they will know what to do.
Amen.
So that they'll know how to make a right decision. And be able to say no.
Amen.
No to pornography. Say no to alcohol.
Amen.
Really, I'm telling you, that will save you a lot of trouble in your life.
Amen.
Now you may be one of those that can handle alcohol and alcohol will never affect you. Why take the risk to find out?
Right.
Just say no and don't let alcohol ever affect your life.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Read the Bible. Read the Proverbs. Read it, and you'll know who the woe is for. And then just stay away from it.
Amen.
You don't need it. You don't. Say no. Say no. Don't steal.
Amen.
Don't steal. Listen, you think, oh, I'm strong. I'm stealing. I know that's wrong. I know that's wrong. I would never do that. But hey, you think you're strong until the opportunity actually presents itself. Oh, when the opportunity comes and nobody knows, you could take it, you could keep it, you could have it, and you actually have need. Well, that's going to be hard to resist if you don't have a set of values that's going to keep you from doing the wrong thing. A set of values that's going to help you to make the right decision and to be determined to follow through with it. You have to be able to say no. Say no. No sex before marriage.
Amen.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're saying that it is normal. It is normal for young kids to just indulge in themselves in sexual activity. Sex before marriage. You say, that gets strange. That gets strange. But this is the thing is, if you're not confronting your children with it, if you're not confronting it before the time comes, it's going to confront you sooner or later. And we need to talk about these matters. We need to think and consider these matters so that we can make decisions later on based off of the values that we come away with when we've considered them. You need to be able to say no to these things. Women, how about you say no? How about you say no when a man wants to touch your body?
Amen.
They're going to want to. Listen, men are wicked and they're cunning and they want something from you and you need to be strong and say no.
Amen.
No. How about no to gossip and being a busybody?
Yeah.
Amen.
The words of somebody who's always putting somebody down and evil speaking and all these things. Listen, and this isn't just women, it's men and it's everywhere. But boy, we need to say no.
Amen.
Somebody comes to you and they just want to gossip and they just want to tell you about somebody else and they want to speak evil of somebody else. You can say no. Did you know that you could do that? You can say, no, I don't want to hear it, and just walk away. And you don't have to hear all these things. You can say no. You catch yourself talking about somebody else. You can say, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
And stop your mouth.
Amen.
And say no.
Amen.
Say no to homosexuality.
Amen.
This has to be said? Really, it does have to be said. Because it's becoming normal. It's becoming something that's just, we think it's fine, it's okay, and it's not okay, and it's not right. And you have to contemplate this, you have to think about these matters, and you have to realize what is wrong. And you have to be able to say no, even though they're not gonna like it. Nobody's gonna like it. They're not gonna like you saying no. They're not going to like you saying, that is wrong, that is not right, and I'm not going to participate in that. In Job 31:1, he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Psalm 101 said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. How about letting these guide our decisions when the moment comes, and we can be strong and steadfast and say, no.
Amen.
No. And let me tell you something, convictions aren't only negative. Convictions can be on the positive side too. You don't just have, when you create convictions, when you come up with principles of life, when you set a set of values in yourself, it's not just so that you can always be on guard to say no, 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 no. It's also so that you can say, hey, this is what I want to do and I'm going after this. Because they're decisions also. Did you know that you decide whether to be thankful or not?
Yes.
It's not the circumstances around you that decide whether you're thankful or not. It's you that decides whether you're thankful or not.
Amen.
And that's something you need to consider. Are you going to live your life being unthankful and ungrateful and always in a bad mood? Or are you going to be the one that is thankful?
Amen.
And content?
Amen.
Oh, but what about my circumstances? It's not about your circumstances. You can be content no matter what state you are in.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You can be thankful. And that's a decision you have to make. You can be faithful.
Amen.
Listen, you're in your marriage, you need to learn how to be able to say, I am going to be faithful.
Amen.
To my wife. That's a decision you make. How about patient? These are all choices. These are choices that you make. These are things that you consider in your life and you wonder, what should I, how should I live? What's the value system that I have? And these should take you to be able to make these choices, to be patient, to be faithful. How about to love your wife? Yes, that's a decision.
Yeah.
That's not an emotion. That's not something that you're just waiting. Oh, well, hopefully the spark comes back. Hopefully something happens. Hopefully it comes. No, you choose
Amen.
To love your wife.
Amen.
How about go to church? Did you know that going to church is a decision?
Amen.
Listen, if you're waiting for Sunday morning to see how you feel, if you want to go to church or not, it's too late.
Amen.
You've missed the point. Going to church is a decision you make long before.
Amen.
So much like so many other things. All these are things that we need to realize they are in our power to decide yes or no.
Yes.
Not the circumstances around us.
Right.
Now, I'll tell you what, if you're always around people that are doing one thing, it's gonna be so much more higher percent that you're gonna be also participating in that also.
Amen.
Guess what? You find yourself hanging around people who love church and wanna be here, you're probably gonna get excited and wanna be here also.
Amen.
So that will help. But the choice is going to be yours. You have to choose, you have to decide, and you have to be determined to follow through with something. And so you need to set your values. You need to have some principles that are going to help you decide when the moment comes what to do. Daniel 1:8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank." He purposed it in his heart. We must allow the Word of God to be the one that influences our life. How are you going to get your set of principles so that you can make the right decisions? How are you going to set your value system so that whenever the moment comes, you make the right choices? How are you going to do that? Well, you have to let the Word of God be the one that's influencing you in the principles that you have.
Amen.
It's like when Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, remember he said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." You see, you want your principles to come from a solid foundation. You want your principles to be something that the Lord has spoke and you took heed. Most of the times we just ignore what the Bible says. Ignore what was preached. It's very easy to do. It's very easy to read and not even know what you're reading. And you can wake up and you're thinking, "I'm three chapters in and I don't remember what was being said." You can hear a whole message and go home and never think about it again. And it not change your life at all. You need the Word. We need to hear the Word of the Lord and let it have an effect in our life. Let it teach us. Let it be the one that gives us our principles on how to live. And we all say, "Well, there's some convictions that are all right, very personal, and these are personal convictions. And you don't need to be giving me your personal convictions, and you don't need to be throwing your personal convictions on other people." And yeah, that's all good and true. But guess what? If we're all reading the Word of God and letting the Word of God influence us, we're all going to look pretty much the same. We're all going to have pretty much the same values.
Yeah, it's true.
Because the Word of God is clear. And we know what God really wants from us. It's not unclear when He says He desires for us to abstain from fornication and He says flee from it. Nobody, we all know what that means. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How about letting the Word of God be the one that guides you? There's the same thing. 119:111 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee."
Right.
How about having a heart full of the Word of God? Your principles come from the Word of God, so that when the moment comes and sinners entice you and sin entices you and things are calling out, wickedness is wanting you to follow it, you can say, "No, I know what God wants and I'm following Him." 119:133 says, "Order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Is this not the example we saw in Jesus? But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Did He not say this every time the devil, Satan, came to tempt Him? He said, "It is written."
Right.
And He did not give in to sin. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Our principles should come from the Word of God. Now let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. So conviction should be predetermined principles that dictate our actions. Yeah. They're going to shape our decisions and govern the way we act. Look at Romans 8, verse 13. It says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Wow. If ye through the Spirit, he says, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You mortify. You, guess what he's saying? He's saying, you're gonna die to yourself. That's what he's saying. He says in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The point is, we want to be led by God.
Amen.
Not by ourselves.
Right.
And this is where, when we have convictions, it's that we are so full of the principles from God's Word, we're so full of the Word of God, we're letting the Spirit of God be the one that guides us.
Yeah.
If you are led, are you led by the Spirit of God? Well, guess what? To be led by the Spirit of God, you have to be dead to yourself. That's what he says. If we live after the flesh, you shall die. That's living after you. That's living after your own will. That's having you, the things you want to do, the things that are enticing to you, the things that are natural in you. If you live after that, you're going to die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. He says later on, he talks about mortifying every member. Every member. Your members, you're mortifying, your members are dying off. That means they're not seeking after what your desires are anymore.
Right.
Your eyes. You get to your eyes. They're not yours anymore. Your eyes are dead. You should only have eyes for what God has eyes for.
Right.
Now I'll tell you, I don't practice this as I'm preaching it right now. I'm not there. And I can't say I am there. So, hey, I'm just wanting to let you know what he tells us we should be doing. And we all need to do it.
Amen.
Mortify the members. Mortify yourself. Mortify your body. You need to die in order to live. This is what he's saying. Jesus says, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. And we don't need to go plucking out all of our physical eyes.
Yeah, right.
He's talking about fixing something up here.
Yeah, right.
You've got eyes that are looking at things that shouldn't be looking at. You need to die to that. You need to get rid of that way of thinking. You need to mortify that member. And you need to live like God.
Amen.
You need to follow after His footsteps. Be holy as He is holy. You need to guide your life through the Word of God.
Amen.
Let it establish its principles, its values, and sets of values into your heart so that whenever the moment comes, you can make decisions and you can be fully determined in sticking by those decisions that you've made.
Right.
And this is what we see in Jesus Christ. We see His determination. We see His decisiveness. And we want to follow after that. We want to be willing to die to ourselves and to let the Spirit be the one that leads us. So we need to be in the Word of God, and we need to allow the Word of God dictate what principles we have and what values we live by and make the right decisions and be governed by that. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be here at 11 o'clock.